This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
So previously we spoke about Adam and Hawa, the very first two human beings. So the next example that we're going to look at of family dynamics within the Quran is the example of the two sons of Adam and Hawa. And this particular example will revolve around the theme and the topic of the relationship between siblings. Sibling relationships, sibling rivalries, and sibling dynamics, as that is also a part of the family unit. Right? This is a little bit technical, but in Islamic law, particularly in inheritance law, fiqh al-mirath, we talk about that we have al-usul, the parents, the grandparents, we have al-furu', the children, the grandchildren, and then you have what's referred to as al-hawashi, the relationships that are parallel. Because with usul, there is the dynamic of, okay, these are your parents and grandparents, and you conduct yourself with a level of humility, and you extend respect and courtesy. With furu', there's a profound sense of responsibility that's on you when dealing with your children, your grandchildren. You're the responsible party. But when it comes to the hawashi, it's kind of the relationship with peers, colleagues, from a family perspective. And so that makes it very interesting and complex and complicated at times. And that's exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights here. And I don't have to tell a lot of backstory, and I don't have to lay out a lot of context, because of how interesting and how potentially complicated this dynamic and this relationship can be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has actually addressed it in a very detailed manner. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, Surah number 5, beginning with ayah number 27, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the story about the two sons of Adam and Hawa. The hadith of Bukhari, the authentic narration, tells us their names. Their names were Habil and Qabil. Or as we know, the biblical versions of the names, Cain and Abel. And Habil and Qabil, these are the two sons of Adam alayhi salam. And in ayah number 27, it's so fascinating. Allah tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Muhammad, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, watslu alayhim. Utlu alayhim. Allah is commanding the Prophet ﷺ, tell them this story. Tell them this story. People need to know this. People need to learn from this. What is the story? Naba'a ibnay Adama bilhaq. Tell them the story of the two sons of Adam according to the truth. Tell them the true story about the two sons of Adam. Idh qarraba qurbanan. When both of them, according to the instruction and the education and the teaching that they had received from their father, from their parents, both of them offered a sacrifice. Both of them offered a sacrifice to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَتُقُبِّلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمَا وَلَمْ يُتَقَبَّلْ مِنَ الْآخَرِ. One of them gave the sacrifice with sincerity, with ihsan, with excellence. And so Habil, his sacrifice was accepted. وَلَمْ يُتَقَبَّلْ مِنَ الْآخَرِ. Qabil, he must have been lacking in his sincerity, in his devotion, in his ihsan, his excellence, he was lacking. So his sacrifice was not accepted. And he became so outraged, and he became so filled with jealousy and anger and rage at the fact that the brother's sacrifice was accepted by Allah and his was not. He said, لَأَقْتُلَنَّكْ. I'm going to kill you. And the brother, Qabil, says to Habil, Cain says to Abel, I'm going to kill you. Abel, Habil, he responds by saying, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah accepts from the people who are God conscious. People who are mindful and conscious of their Lord, Allah accepts from them. And Habil goes on to say to Qabil, the good brother says to the one who is threatening to kill him, لَإِن بَسَطْتَ إِلَيَّ يَدَكَ لِتَقْتُلَنِي. And if you reach your hand out, your arm out to kill me, if you try to put your hands on me, مَا أَنَا بِبَاسِطٍ يَدِيَ إِلَيْكَ لِأَقْتُلَكَ. I will not extend my arm back out to you in retaliation to try to kill you. If you try to kill me, attack me, assault me, harm me, I'm not going to do the same. Why? إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Because I fear Allah, the Lord of the worlds. إِنِّي أُرِيدُ أَن تَبُوءَ بِإِثْمِي وَإِثْمِكَ فَتَكُونَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّارِ. And he says that I would rather, if you, first of all, I would prefer if you did not do that, obviously. But if you're not willing to desist, if you're not willing to listen, if you have lost all sense and self-control, then I would rather have it that you will take my sin upon you and your own sin upon you, and that will land you nowhere else but the fire of hell. He's advising him. Look, if you do this, brother, you're going to have your own sin, you're going to take my sin all upon yourself, and you will end up in the fire of hell. وَذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ الظَّالِمِينَ. And that is where the people who are evildoers, those who oppress others, those who violate others, that is where they end up. But the Qur'an tells us in ayah number 30, فَطَوَّعَتْ لَهُ نَفْسُهُ قَتْلَ أَخِيهِ. But his lower self, his rage, his anger, his lust, his desire, his arrogance, his ego, that had become so inflamed and so enraged, that beast within him that had become so uncontrollable, it basically told him he had no choice but to kill his brother. And the word the Qur'an uses is فَطَوَّعَتْ لَهُ نَفْسُهُ. His inner self, that lower self, that animal that lives within, it overcame his mind and his heart, and it made him feel, not think, because he obviously was not thinking. It made him feel like he had no other choice. He had to do this. He had to murder his own brother. فَقَتَلَهُ. And he killed him. فَأَصْبَحَ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And he ruined himself because of that. The hadith of Bukhari tells us this is the first person, the first human being in human history to commit murder. And the Prophet ﷺ says in an authentic narration, from that point on forward, anyone who takes another life, anyone who takes a life unjustly, wrongfully, did not have a right to do that. Anyone who murders another human being, they have their own sin of doing that, committing that crime. But a part of that sin will go all the way back to Qabil, because he started this evil practice. He ruined himself. He destroyed himself. And he chose to do that. That was his action. But then Allah tells us in ayah number 31, فَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ غُرَابٍ يَبْحَثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ لِيُورِيَهُ كَيْفَ يُوَارِي سَوَاتَ أَخِيهِ. Allah sent down a crow that landed in front of Qabil. One of the narration mentions that he took the dead body of his brother. He didn't know what to do with this, and he was like insane at this point. And he's like, I can't leave my brother's body like this, rotting. So he threw the body over his shoulder, and he's just walking around with his brother's corpse. Think of the insanity. And so Allah sends this crow, and this crow comes and lands in front of him and starts digging into the earth, and then puts the body of a dead bird into the ground, and then starts kicking the dirt back onto the body. قَالَ يَا وَيْلَتَا. He sees this and he says, what is wrong with me? أَعَجَزْتُ أَنْ أَكُونَ مِثْرَ هَذَا الْغُرَابِ فَأُوَارِيَ سَوَّةَ أَخِي. And he says, I am worse off than this bird, that I don't know what to do with the body of my brother. فَأَصْبَحَ مِنَ النَّادِمِينَ. And then he buried the body of his brother, and he became extremely remorseful and regretful over what he had done. And it is, again, not by coincidence, nothing in the Qur'an is coincidence, that in ayah number 32, the very next ayah, is the verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَكَأَنَّ that من قتل الله says فكأنما قتل الناس جميعا ومن أحيا من قتل نفسا بغير نفس أو فساد في الأرض فكأنما قتل الناس جميعا. Whoever has taken a life wrongfully, unjustly, it is as if they have murdered all of humanity. وَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا, and whoever saves a single life, a single soul, فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَا النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا, it is as if they have saved all of humanity. Now, the takeaway lesson and the takeaway point that I wanted to share here tonight, and I wanted to share with everyone, is that, think about this. This was his own brother. They have the same father. They have the same mother. And their father and their mother are remarkable people. It's Adam and Hawa. They are raised by a prophet of God. They are raised by the man who was created by the hands of God himself. خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيَّ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. And what can possess a person who has grown up in that environment, who has had what we call the tarbiyah, the upbringing, the nurturing, has had the hand of a prophet on his shoulder throughout his life. What can prompt that person, what can drive that person to murder somebody purely out of jealousy and anger and hatred, and not just murder anyone, but his own flesh and blood, his own brother? It sounds insane. But what does that to a person? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the ayah what does it to a person. What is Habil talking about? Inni akhafu Allah rabbil alameen. When a person does not fear Allah, when a person has no awareness of Allah, we talked about taqwa yesterday, God consciousness. When a person has no awareness of Allah, no connection to Allah, a person does not fear Allah, then you can't put anything past that person. Because that person will only be as faithful and as loyal as their options are, as their opportunities are. They will do anything that they think they can actually get away with. But when you fear Allah, when you're conscious of Allah, then you know we actually do not get away with anything. We get away with nothing. Why? وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَحْصَيْنَاهُ فِي إِمَامٍ مُبِينٍ Because everything is recorded. Everything is in the knowledge of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ بَصِيرٌ Allah hears all, sees all, knows all. We don't get away with anything. But when you lack the fear of Allah and God consciousness, even something this crazy and this insane is actually possible. And the second thing that the verses tell us, فَطَوَّعَتْ لَهُ نَفْسُهُ His nafs, his lust, his desire, his anger, his jealousy, his greed. That drove him to such a point of insanity. وَأُحْضِرَتِ الْأَنفُسُ الشُّحْ Allah tells us in the Quran. These are dormant demons and beasts that live inside each and every single one of us. And what keeps that beast weakened and caged is that fear of Allah, that humility before Allah. When we put our faces on the ground in front of Allah in sujood, that helps to shackle the beast and keep it restrained. But if we become disconnected from Allah, that beast becomes stronger and stronger until it breaks free of its cage. And once it's let loose, it sets loose, the human being stands no chance. And so that is the evil of the self, the arrogance, the nafs, the hatred, the animosity, the envy. And that's why we have to focus on that. We have to, this month, the month of the Quran, the month of fasting, the month of spirituality, the month of worship, we have to take that very seriously. Otherwise, at some point, nothing is sacred anymore. When that beast gets loose, then nothing is sacred. Brother, father, mother, nothing is sacred. But that's why we continue on with the same thing. That the foundation of all good relationships is the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is the connection to Allah. Is the taqwa, the consciousness of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us taqwa within this blessed month. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Jazakumullahu khairan. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.